I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. I want to welcome everyone to our program. We are celebrating over 23 years in business and just entering our 10th year of doing open line. We have a few new and exciting changes. First, we have our new 2018 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics for the last decade going to the publication and event tab. Our second book, Cracking the Business Code, is a big hit. You can find it on Amazon, and we have a third book coming out the end of first quarter of 2018 called Cracking the Team Building Code. We'll let you know as soon as that is available. We also offer now, you can find this on our website, skills testing, which we've been asked about for many years and took a year to build out. We finally have it. Also, I want to let a number of you that might not have met our COO, Glenn Croy. Glenn is a senior consultant with us, been with us almost a year now, and he has overseen companies anywhere from 60 to 600 employees and strong OD background, and we're so glad to have Glenn as part of our team. We also have another new consultant, senior consultant, who has joined us, Glenn Clute, who was a client before this and has worked with smaller companies all the way up to 1,500 people as the VP of HR. So welcome to our new team members. Our topic today is it's always time to raise the hiring bar. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm going to be our host and the guest today. Unfortunately, Barry Deutsch, who is going to be the presenter today, had some last-minute travel issues that came up, so I'm filling in for him today. Just for those of you who don't know about Lighthouse, everything we do brings effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments. We also provide interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops. We have an office in the UK that covers Europe, and also we have an office in Taiwan. So if you would like to have any of your Asian leaders that need to get used to working with a U.S. company, doing some one-to-one coaching, please let us know. We are truly international and global. Also, as we're going through our program today, you'll see a chat box. Please feel free to write things down, and you'll see a print icon on the screen so you can present ideas and questions. So let's get going. It's always time to raise the hiring bar. I'm showing a picture of the Titanic, not suggesting that you're on the Titanic today, but rather in order for the Titanic to be found, there's a gentleman by the name of Bob Ballard. He did a 60-minute show on how he found the Titanic, and he had to think out of the box. Everybody else was kind of just combing the floor looking for the Titanic. He figured there was probably a debris trail left behind like a comet. So he then used sonar to scan over a 1 mile area, and that's how he found the Titanic. If he had done the same things everybody else had been doing, it would have been the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. Hiring is the same thing. We have to and must think out of the box. So we're going to talk about today the high cost of mishires, job descriptions, targeted recruiting, going through resume piles, phone interviews, one-to-one interviews, and a whole bunch more stuff. So be ready to write notes, and we'll be sending these slides out to you after the program in a couple of days, along with the audio. I love this quote by Albert Einstein. The significant problems we have today cannot be solved at the same level of thinking with which we have created them. We have to think out of the box. So does everybody else on our team. It's time to get off the carousel and to bring in fresh talent. We can't leave the same talent we have today because people are maturing. And you don't want to get rid of people, but you need to have a refresher button so you get new people coming in along the way. To start with, you need to observe the kind of people that you want to have on your team. So let me give you some examples. I was at our dry cleaners, and I needed to have a coupon. So they said, oh, you know, you can get that off your cell phone. And cell phone was taking a long time. And one of the customer service people said, no worries, Mr. Barocca. Don't worry about it. We're going to give you your discount like you normally get. But that was a proactive action by a team member. They weren't just sitting there waiting for the cell phone to come up. They took action. I know most of you have probably been to UPS stores before, but if you've noticed, they all smile, they're thinkers, and they are on their game. Every member in your organization needs to be on their game. I'm not going to tell you the GE microwave story. If you want to hear that, give me a call. But you go to Best Buy's, unfortunately Sears is closing stores, or you go to Home Depot, that people are all there to help. They're there to guide and to get you in the right department in order to make a sale because they're all being clocked. So you need everybody in your team on their game to help your customers so you get a sale. You want the best in customer service. Even if someone's in your accounting department, they need to be the best in customer service. Let's say a call gets misdirected to customer service and the person goes, oh, I'm so sorry, you got the wrong department. I really can't help you and I don't know where to transfer you. They need to know where to transfer and they need to, matter of fact, if someone calls their department, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Jones or Mrs. Jones, let me get them on the line and then I'm going to transfer you to them to make sure they're not busy. They need to be a part of the customer service process. Writing and grammar. You cannot have somebody given a keyboard unless they have decent writing and grammar skills. I love Eddie Bauer, but there was a customer service person, unfortunately, who sent me a note, and they should never have given that person a keyboard. It was atrocious. Whoever writes something to somebody else is representing your company, and you need to have the best of the best. You also need people that are self-driven and that are out there making things happen and doing things, not sitting their hands waiting to be told what to do. You need people with confidence and work ethics. If you want to know during the interview process if someone's a self-driven individual, have them give you a definition and have them describe to you someone that they know is self-driven other than themselves. Then you can say, so tell me about yourself. How would you rate yourself as a top driver, 0 to 10, 10 being the highest? And how did you come up with that number? So let's say they say an 8. How do you go from 8 to 9? Or if they say 10, how did you go from 9 to 10? Well, I've always been that way, so tell me about that. Give me an over-the-top experience that you've done. Work ethics. You do it until you get the job done. You don't need someone that clocks out right at 5. Now, I'm not telling you to break HR rules because people do have to be on the clock, but you want someone that's going to follow up with somebody and get the job done all the way through and close the loop. So you can ask them, so tell me about your work ethics. Define work ethics. What does that mean to you? Tell me a time when you closed the loop or when you wished you had closed the loop. Somebody with confidence and someone that's personable. If you have somebody that's quiet and they need to interface with people, you've got a problem. Whatever you see during the interview is what you're going to get. So making a well-informed hiring decision. Interviewing is number one. You want to do the best interviewing humanly possible. Second thing is you all must do and have to do background reference checking. There should be nobody on this call that doesn't do background reference checking for every person that comes in your door. Some organizations are even doing background reference checking now on temp individuals because there's a lot of weird stuff going on. And for reference checking, do not have anybody else do reference checking but yourself. You may have your HR department do some of it, but you want to hear for yourself as the hiring manager the information directly from the individual that you're talking to. You also, as a third-legged stool, you want to do an in-depth personality assessment. And that would be just before the final face-to-face and pre-reference background checking. So you do the best interviewing humanly possible, background reference checking, and an in-depth personality assessment. And that's a three-legged stool of hiring. They should all balance themselves out. If something isn't working, you're going to know somewhere along the line. Something is off. Hiring should be a constant, steady flow. It's continuously adapting to the environment. You need to flow with the needs of the environment. So what's the cost of a poor hiring decision? There's the recruiting and the training expense is astronomical. So doing it correctly the first time is what's so important. And there's no silver bullet to this, but you want to try to do the best you can. Having a poor matchup with people in your staff or the culture, or a candidate's personality has issues and isn't fitting in, you're going to have problems. What's the cost of unresolved personnel issues? It's poor communication, there can be conflict, low morale, poor team dynamics, there can be levels of stress that get created. All these things, all because you didn't check on these things beforehand. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that you have your normal job description like you've always had. And in addition to that, you have a separate page with expectations and outcomes. So you'd have a form that would have day 1 through 90. So you'd have, let's say, the first 30 days of what half dozen things of what you'd want that person to accomplish the first 30 days. Then 60 days, 90 days, you can go out 6 months. And then you can develop interview questions based on your expectations in the first 30, 60, 90 days. Now, here's the beautiful thing. If you have this information, and let's say the person in the first 30 days, and you have a half dozen expectations, and they only accomplish 2, either your expectations are too out there, or there's something wrong with the person. So you can take what they didn't accomplish, put that in the 60 days, and then see how they work through it. If they're too slow or something's not working, you can make adjustments, certainly. But something's got to give at that point. It's better to cut the loss sooner than later if they're not fitting in than waiting until the 91st day and going, oh, so-and-so is not fitting in. Oh, that's too bad. You can use the expectations also to create advertising, branding messages, and public relations. So let me give you an example of this. We had a client that did the 30, 60, 90, 180-day goals and objectives. And they realized something about themselves, of the type of people they want to recruit. Now, how they frame that towards their audience, they would go out and give talks to organizations, and they put a tagline at the end of every talk and said, if you know of anyone that wants to work for the Bentley or Rolls-Royce of organizations in our industry, please have them give us a call. We're looking for A++++ players. They said that over and over and over again. Here's the great thing. They have me do phone interviews with a lot of their candidates, and I always ask them, how did you hear about this organization? And I'll usually hear by their reputation. What's their reputation? Oh, they're the Rolls-Royce and gold standard in our industry. They fabricated that. They created that. And that's the kind of thing that everyone needs to do is be very creative as to how you are presenting yourself out in the world. Now, let's take a sample. Let's take Craigslist. I'm not suggesting you use Craigslist, but let's take a sample. So let's say you have a service desk or service coordinator. You can write down what are the characteristics that you're looking for, and then you can fill them in with verbiage, such as work with customers, self-driven, room for growth. Room for growth is a big one for a lot of younger people that are coming in. They don't want to be stuck. Someone that's personable, have career options and benefits. And you can put down, you need at least 6 years of work experience, and that can include part-time work. You want somebody that's been working in high school and not just focusing on school if you're going to put them on, let's say, a service desk, or they're not going to be going to higher levels of education. You want them to have worked during that time, so you ask them questions, or maybe some junior college. But you list out the key characteristics. Then you can fill in the verbiage afterwards as to what the ad would look like. So targeted recruiting, referrals are your number one. just your number one thing. I was asked, not that we do recruiting because we don't, but I was asked by a client recently. I said, can you do us a favor? We're looking for someone with some specific background. You know what we're looking for. Can you just give this a try? So I called some local universities and spoke with the deans at the university and then sent an ad over, which they posted, that the dean also then talked to some of their students. The deans referred people to us. They ended up hiring someone off the dean's list, in a sense. And then not only did that cause someone to get hired, that A++ person referred somebody else in the same program. So referrals are key. Going to schools can be very helpful. But you got to get in there and not just post the ad. You have to do the dirty work and make the phone call right into the department and talk to people so there's a personal connection. Of course, using internet job boards, I'm listing a couple here. There's so many these days. You want to be as specific as possible. There's Career Builder, Craigslist, LinkedIn, Monster, specialty boards. There's Indeed. There's just so many, but you want to be as targeted as possible versus a broad swath. One doesn't simply build good stuff and then service good stuff. One has to do more. Go beyond the conventional definition of product and service. In my terms, become one with the customer. I love that quote from Tom Peters. Tom does a great job. If you want to sign up for Tom Peters' quotes, he sends them out almost every day, I think, or at least once a week. So now you got the resume pile or the application. However the resume or application is presented to you is how it's going to look. I'll give you an example. There was an individual, a client of ours once, that hired someone that had a little baby bulldog on it, and none of us thought anything about it. A couple months later, the individual ended up biting someone in the organization. And they said, oh, I've been biting people that I really like for my whole life. Then we pulled out the resume and said, well, is that why you have the bulldog on there? And they said, exactly, because the bulldog shows that it really cares about people. How odd. But it demonstrates you have to look at everything that's on the resume. Does what they're presenting show a history or some background of what you're going to need based on your 30, 60, 90, 180-day goals and objectives? Then you want to do a phone interview before you invite the person in. There's a lot of energy that gets used up by doing a face-to-face interview. So you want to have a phone interview. You can listen a lot. It forces you to only do 20% of the listening, of the talking, and the rest of the time you should be listening. Come up with questions based on the 30, 60, 90, 180-day goals and objectives and see how they fit. Why are you interested in the position? You can ask them, what did you learn from our website? If they say, oh, I haven't been to the website, that tells you a lot because everyone should be doing their homework before a discussion. Ask them for some adjectives, a couple adjectives of their favorite person they ever worked with and someone they'd prefer not to work for. Then you can ask for an example of any of the adjectives and a description. Their big, hairy, audacious goal that they have accomplished in the past. You just want to get them talking and listening to see how conversant they are. If you like the person, and frankly, if it's the only person you've talked to, don't let them know that. Just say, hey, I have a few more candidates to talk to. Can I get back to you in the next 2 hours, and then we can go to next steps? Then you put a measured time on it, or by the end of the afternoon. The reason for doing that is not to play games so much, but when you call the person back and say, hey, Susie or Joe, I'd love to invite you in to have a conversation with us or do a Skype interview. They've just won the lottery, so then they're going to be talking to people and saying, wow, this is so great. I got a call back from the interview. You're going to make them feel good, which is a wonderful thing for everybody. When you do the in-person interview, you want to get more in-depth, A through Z. Dig into their interview even more so. Let the candidate prove himself through demonstrating. Have them write you a letter. If it's a sales position, have them write you a sales letter. If you're not getting what you need from the discussion, say, hey, I'm really sorry. I might have missed something here. Then ask the question again. Don't get impressed by someone wearing a $1,500 suit or dressing really well. That's always nice, but they have to have done or done something similar to what you need for the actual position. Don't get impressed by the impressive school either. It depends on what they've done. If they've gone to impressive school, ask them what their biggest accomplishment was in school for doing nonprofit. You want to see somebody that's done something extra than just studying. Maybe they're head of a fraternity. There was a young man that was being interviewed for a position that was head of their fraternity, and he was a president, and his big accomplishment was a cancer run and raising X number of dollars. You want to listen, and not sell your company. You want to share ideas about your company, but you don't want to sell them on it. So you want to, old saying goes, you never know someone until you work with them, travel with them, or you live with them. And one way to reduce the hiring error is to, first of all, you want to do background reference checking. You want to do that thoroughly. And also you want to incorporate some type of work style assessment, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Now, we're going to send the slides out to everybody in the next couple of days, and these are some people that I'd highly recommend if you want to talk to further about background checks. The core group does an outstanding job. Barry Deutsch, who's supposed to be on our call today, can help put together our entire hiring package. If you need help with compensation, Larry Comp, and that really is his last name, that helps with compensation and strategic planning. Mark Emmer does an outstanding job, too, but we'll send those names out in the next couple days. So you want to do some type of personality assessment. And you want to make sure that the assessment has a minimum of 185 questions in the profile and that the testing company has a copy of the resume and the job description. So then when you're doing the debrief with the testing company, it's a real live discussion. And you want something that's been around for a long time and isn't a toy. You need something with at least 12 primary scales. Myers-Briggs and DISC and Predictive Index actually have 4 primary scales. You need to have at least 164 questions in order to get to what's called an impression management score. The profile that we use has 185 questions. It's been around for over 50 years, and it's not a toy. It's not a flavor of the month. It's a very serious instrument. You want someone that also has a degree in what you're doing when they're doing the debrief and not just a flavor of the month or a weekend training course that's just guessing on things. This is a very serious thing that you're doing, hiring someone, and they have about to make major investment in the process. Let me move the slides forward here. Also, to welcome new hires when they come on board, couple things here you may want to consider. Have a nice box on their desk, maybe a welcome note. Have brochures on the company inside, maybe notepads, pens with the company name. If you have a company T-shirt, get it in the right size. I know companies that have headsets with their name engraved on it, maybe even an alarm clock. What a hint, get up on time, but it has a company name on it. A Fitbit watch, doesn't cost a lot, or maybe even a backpack. But have something on the desk to welcome the person because you're continuing the process for how someone feels when they come on board for positive word of mouth, which is vital in this day and age. And then you want retention. How do you keep people? You got to know where people want to go, and you got to help them get there. And you got to know from the very beginning, from the interview process, where they want to go. And, again, you want to help guide them to get there. So in conclusion of our discussion, you want to do the best interviewing humanly possible. You want to do background reference checking and some form of in-depth personality assessment, which we provide. We have our book, Cracking the Business Code. You can order that on our site. Go to our website, lighthouseconsulting.com. Order it right off the site there. It has everything we've been talking about. Also, it has a bonus section in there on how to deal with difficult people. I love this quote for closing today. Don't blame a fish for not flying. If you needed to hire a flyer, you should have hired a bird. Also in the handout we're going to send over by Barry Deutsch, Impact Hiring Solutions, is an 8-point success matrix. If you're doing panel interviews, which most of you should be doing, this is it's very small to see, but we'll send this to you in full size. You can have different people rate how asking the same question. Some person might weigh somebody with a 0. Some people might rate them with a 3. It's important to find out why would someone rate a 0 and a 3 when they're being asked the same question. And it helps with also the learning process, teaching people how to interview and how to get the best out of the relationship. We're going to have a surprise for our next program next month. We'll let you know via email for our next program what the title will be. We look forward to having everybody join us and appreciate the opportunity that you all joined today. And thank you so much for attending always our open line over the years. And we're very grateful and look forward to having you attend our next program. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you on our next program next month. Take care now. Bye-bye.